Calling is a paid program. The views and opinions expressed in this show do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the staff and management of this station, Clear Channel Radio, or its affiliate companies.
Today on the Travel Guys.
Turtles are loose on the runway. Midnight munchies cost more on a ship. And what's that vibrating in your carry-on bag? All coming up in the travel news.
If you've ever tried to get a frequent flyer award ticket, you need world traveler Ben Schlappig's tips, and he joins us at 2:15 with the scoop.
At 2:45, John Holloway stops by to give us one of those famous packing demonstrations on the radio.
All that and more today on the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man.
Hit the road. Hit the road, Jack.
Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Chicks, I want a Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Good afternoon and welcome everyone to another edition of the Travel Guys and Entertainment every Sunday 2 to 3 right here on News Talk 1530 KFVK. I'm Tom Romano along with Sports Leisure Vacations' Mark Hoffman. So nice to have you on board. Now don't forget you can follow along with all of our guests on the program today by visiting TravelGuysRadio.com. Well, as we do at the beginning of every Travel Guys radio show, let's bring on Mark Hoffman and let's check in on the travel news for this week. Mark, what do you have for us?
Expedia and Groupon announced this week the first live deals on Groupon Getaways with Expedia. Groupon Getaways with Expedia handpicks desirable destinations, offering them at unbeatable prices, typically around 50% off retail rates found at other online travel sites. The deals follow the proven Groupon model, in which customers have a limited time to buy a discount voucher good for a future travel. Once a customer purchases a voucher, they can redeem any time within the expiration period. In the coming weeks, those who signed up for Groupon Getaways with Expedia can expect to see deals delivered weekly to their inbox and available for purchase in limited quantities until they sell out. Next week on the Travel Guys, we'll talk about buying Groupon travel deals, what to look for, and what to look out for.
Cool.
Love is in the air. Perhaps you've heard the stories of the turtles and their mating season journey at JFK Airport in New York. In the past 2 weeks, about 150 diamondback terrapin turtles were trying to get to an ideal location to lay their eggs. That's a sandy area that happens to be across runway 4. The turtles were primarily female, and the fertilization of their eggs occurs in the water. JFK is surrounded by a bay and wetland areas. The airport now has turtle spotters to pick up errant turtles and get them to their nesting areas. The Biggest Loser expands into a chain of resorts. Currently, there are two successful outposts with ties to the hit NBC TV show of the same name, one in Utah and a newer branch in Malibu. The original Utah resort is pretty much booked until October, a reservation has told Us Tuesday. Now, two entrepreneurs have joined up with those behind the original Loser Resorts and will expand the concept and take it to other parts of the country. Currently, stays start at $1,995 a week per person, double occupancy in Utah, including lodging, all meals, and classes. 4 weeks is $7,200. Malibu, of course, is a bit more expensive. If you're on a cruise and thinking of ordering room service at 1 a.m. to quell those late-night hunger pains, you will soon have to pay for the privilege. In coming months, NCL will begin charging $3.95 per room service order delivered between midnight and 5 a.m. NCL spokesperson told the Cruise Critic that the charge is being instituted in order to cut down on food waste, which she said was more of an issue during the early a.m. hours. Passengers with late-night cravings will still be able to get their fix without any added fees, provided they're alerted enough to leave the cabin. In other food-related news, NCL also announced it will be rolling out 24-hour pizza delivery fleet-wide. The four-fee dining option, $5 for a 16-inch pie, delivered anywhere on the ship. One note, passengers who order pizza or beverages between midnight and 5 a.m. will not be charged the late-night dining service fee.
Yay!
Even in these jittery times, can any air traveler be expected to part willingly with his precious electronic devices? And not just devices that play music or games, but devices that play or to put it another way, devices that jitter.
Uh-huh.
Yes, those devices.
Yes.
The Transportation Safety Administration, whose job it is to consider fully such matters, has decreed that vibrators are okay to carry on an airplane. Friend of the show, TSA spokesperson Nico Melendez, said passengers could save time with a little common sense if they must carry a vibrator in their carry-on bag. Inspectors will not confiscate a vibrator. They are trained to pay attention to electronic devices. Inspectors inspect, he said. If you don't want us to see it, don't bring it. Carol Queen, the celebrated San Francisco sex expert, lecturer, and proprietor of the Good Vibrations chain of sex stores, has traveled the world with her carry-on bags full of vibrators and other paraphernalia. Quote, there's no reason to be embarrassed, said the Queen. If an inspector asks you about it, just look him in the eye and tell him it's your vibrator. That simple statement, said Queen, coupled with a gee-whiz shrug of the shoulders, inevitably puts an end to the matter. Remember, she said, vibrators have been around longer than airplanes. And finally, JetBlue got creative this weekend. As you know, the Los Angeles Freeway 405 is closed over the weekend, so JetBlue decided that they would sell Carmageddon flights across Los Angeles. Yes, that's right. JetBlue put together two flights from Long Beach to Burbank Airport. For this weekend, the flights sold out in about 20 minutes. The flights are scheduled for 45 minutes. Actually, most of that time will be spent taxiing and taking off. The cost of the flights, $4 each way, including tax. JetBlue says it's their shortest flight ever. And that is your travel news for today.
Thank you, Mark. All righty, let's jump into our next segment right away here. We've got lots to do. Mark, bring us up to date with what's going on with Sports Leisure Vacation. Let's first start off with the famous Sports Leisure theme and then into the traveler.
We're going places with that Sports Leisure flair. A world of adventure, and we take you there.
This is your Sports Leisure Travel Club member update for Sunday, July the 17th. An exciting announcement from Sports Leisure regarding the National Figure Skating Championships in San Jose next January. We have secured tickets for all of the final events, including ice dancing, pairs, and the men's and women's finals, along with outstanding hotel accommodations at a local Embassy Suites. Tickets to all skating events are located at the top of the lower level in the arena, absolutely the best for access and viewing the skaters and using the facilities. Hotel and ticket packages for the National Figure Skating Championships next January in San Jose include motor coach or train transportation and pickup at your home. These packages are available exclusively through Sports Leisure Vacations and will go on sale to the general public on Wednesday, July the 27th. Space is limited and we recommend early reservations. Travel Club members, call our office to receive advance notification. Non-members may reserve after July 27th. Only a few tickets are left for Billy Elliott. Motor coach and ticket packages are available for Sunday, August the 21st. Call the Sports Leisure office or go to sportsleisure.com for details. The show will be closing on August 21st. Reservations are going fast for our annual tour and vacation preview day on Sunday, August the 27th at the Marriott Hotel. There are three different times to choose from. Admission is $5 and donated to several local charities. Advance reservations are required, and I recommend sooner than later reserve your space with a Monday morning phone call or reserve right now online at sportsleisure.com. And that's your Sports Leisure Vacations update for Sunday, July 17th.
Thanks, Mark. We'll return with Ben Schlabig, our frequent flyer expert, coming up in a couple of minutes right here on News Talk 1530 KFBK. Thanks for joining us. We are the Travel Guys and Entertainment Radio Program, News Talk 1530 KFBK. Hope you're having a fabulous Sunday. Romano with you. Across the way, Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations. And time to bring back Ben the blogger.
Yep, Ben Schlappig is our expert blogger, but our frequent flyer award man. And we have had a couple, Tom, of listeners who have sent questions to me online over the last, since Ben was here a few weeks ago. And both of them evolved around the inability to be able to get frequent flyer awards.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't know if you're aware of it, but for the benefit of our audience, there are two. Generally, with most carriers, there are two types of frequent flyer awards, the saver award or the cheap award that's available for whatever the minimum miles or the minimum points or whatever is. And then there is, if you don't want that and you're willing to give us twice as much of your airline currency, then perhaps you can get a ticket. And that commonly is what people find is all that's available to them, if anything, is that double mile award. So the airlines go around telling people that you can get a, you know, sign up for our credit card, earn 25,000 miles, enough for a free ticket on United.
Sure.
The reality is that you can never redeem that ticket at that. It's extremely difficult to redeem it at that level. And so our couple of our listeners have sent in to me asking if I had any ideas, and I immediately thought of Ben. So, Ben, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me again. Appreciate it.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I understand that you were scheduled to make several trips. We talked about this a little bit last weekend. You were going to go to Japan and take advantage of some what we call mileage runs, and the little aftershock kind of, I guess, shook you up a little bit, huh?
A little bit, yes. The timing was not great because it was a few hours before I was supposed to leave, but it looks like everything is okay.
Yeah, that definitely is good news. Now, I have seen some of these triple miles promotions and stuff to some of the new service to Shanghai and to get people to go back to places in Japan and things of that nature. Tell us just briefly, Ben, a little bit about that whole triple mile thing. How did that come about? Where would people find something like that?
Yeah, so, I mean, it always makes sense to go to the airline's promotion page. They have always usually a page for how to earn miles, and there's usually one which just lists the promotions for flying. And sometimes they're, you know, incredibly rewarding for flights you would take anyway. So, for example, American is offering triple miles to Shanghai and also to Tokyo on their new routes. So, you know, that makes the miles really add up pretty quickly. With triple miles, that's almost earning a free round trip just for taking one round trip.
And even if you were a frequent flyer with another airline, it almost would behoove you in some of these instances like this one, mm-hmm. on a long trip with triple miles, that might be a part of your buying decision. I mean, you might decide that even though I'm a United frequent flyer, I could sign up for American's program and instantaneously earn enough miles to earn myself some tickets and perhaps some sort of elite status just by making a couple of round trips to Tokyo.
So the recommendation to somebody that's, you know, going to be taking one of these trips is to visit the different airlines' websites and check their promotion page to see if maybe they've got one of these triple miles going before you actually book your flight.
Exactly, and often also check their partner airlines' websites. So interestingly, for example, Alaska Airlines has a, I think, double or triple miles promotion for travel on American to Shanghai. So, interestingly, they're offering actually more miles for an American flight than American is directly.
Wow. Okay.
So the opportunity is there to look around and shop and perhaps pick up. It's kind of like catching a sale to some extent. Mm-hmm. These folks are going to give you a greater rebate for buying a ticket from them. All right. Well, let's get to the frequent flyer awards here, Ben, because that's kind of the meat of our listeners' questions here. You're familiar with this. You're part of your business, the business side of your hobby is to help people find these awards, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But I wanted first to just kind of get your input. What do we tell folks who have this incredible frustration? And let me just share an example here. I had some United miles, had a friend who needed to travel back east, and it was in November, the first part of November he wanted to go, which is typically not a heavy time for travel. So I pull up the city pair on United, and there are two dates the entire month of November at which 25,000-mile tickets are two out of the whole month. And November is not necessarily a peak travel month. And plus, we're several months away from November.
Mm-hmm.
So you can certainly understand why people would say, how in the world, this currency is only worth, you have devalued your currency by half. So, Ben, how do we find those cheap tickets?
Exactly. I mean, and those people really are not alone, because I think a lot of people run across that. And I think the first key is to call the airline directly, because a lot of times the airline's website, it will only display flights on that airline. So if you're going to United's website, for example, for the most part, it only shows you the award space that's on United. But United is part of the Star Alliance, which is a network of over 20 airlines. So in their case, for example, if you call them instead, they could maybe find you space on Continental, on U.S. Airways, depending on where you're going to Air Canada. So for most airlines, they don't display all their space online. So I think always call the airline directly as well and see if they find options that weren't online.
Interesting, because there's so much promotion, and you get on the phone, and the first thing they tell you is to go to the website. And here again, you know, I've always found that I get much better information on the phone directly from the airline's representative.
So, Ben, you log on to the website and you see that there's nothing available, and even if you have flexible dates, and of course, you know, I would tell people who, if you're looking for a ticket to Hawaii on your frequent flyer miles, these tickets are generally released. It depends on the airline. Everybody has a little bit different rules, but generally 10 to 12 months before departure is when the ticket, and you need to find out on your particular carrier when those seats are going to be available. And if you want a top destination like Hawaii or something like that, you've got to get on it the day that it becomes available. Of course, the challenge then is that you're going to have a cancellation fee if you don't, if something happens and your plans change, plans that you have made months and months and months in advance. So it's kind of a catch-22 for people in that if they reserve a ticket way in advance to get the seat, then they're putting themselves out there, you know, in case life, you know, stuff tends to happen in life. And so, Ben, what would you tell folks in terms of check partner sites? That's a great idea. Do you have any better luck calling the airline than you're going to have online?
Well, I think it depends. You know, ideally, you could do your own research through other websites. So, for example, you know, there are three major airline alliances, and that's Star Alliance, Oneworld, and SkyTeam. And the thing is that actually all those airlines, all those alliances, they have common award inventory. So in other words, United Airlines releases the same amount of space to all 20 of their partner airlines. And I think the key is a lot of times partner airlines' websites are better than the website of the airline directly. So, for example, in the case of United, their website will not display partner award availability. So, you know, if you want to fly, for example, on Lufthansa, chances are you're not going to find that space on United's website. But what you can actually do is you can go to Continental's website. They will display the award availability for almost all of their
partners. Because they are a partner. Anybody in the United group is going to be, if you, that's what you're saying. I'm just trying to talk to folks who are listening to this and are kind of getting lost in the Lufthansas and Uniteds and the Continentals, is that all of these guys, there's what Ben is talking about is there are three major airline groups out there, alliances. So you can look for airlines that are within that group that might not be necessarily your carrier, but your miles would still be good on that carrier.
Exactly. So in other words, for United, the most common ones would be U.S. Airways, because they're a partner airline. So if you go to U.S. Airways' website, chances are if you find the award space there at the low level, United will have access to that too. Because I think the issue lots of times is when you call up the airline, you know, the call centers are often outsourced, and you don't necessarily get better information there either. So oftentimes you have to bring it upon yourself, I think, to do the research, and that can be tough to do when you don't know which website to go to. So for Star Alliance, for example, which is United, I go to Continental's website or to Air Canada's website, and I check the award availability there. And if I find it there, chances are it's available through United as well.
So if you were, if you, you would suggest to people that one of the things they could do is do their homework, go to another website and say, okay, these are the flights that are, it shows availability on this flight at this day at this time, and then go back to United and say, okay, U.S. Airways has this available.
Exactly.
And walk them through. I mean, I've seen this other places where folks have suggested this, and actually do your homework, find out what's available, and then go back. And when the airline says, no, it's not available, say, well, you know, when I checked, this is exactly, here's what I have. And if you know exactly what it is that you want, that sometimes you can force the issue a little bit with, let's call it, with a phone person that might not be as experienced as what you needed.
Right. When I call up the airline, I always have specific flight numbers, routes in mind. So I'll find this space first, and then I'll call them, and I'll say, you know, I found award space on this and this flight. Can I maybe give it to you segment by segment? And then, you know, I'll read each segment to the agent in hopes that, you know, they can pull it up segment by segment, because oftentimes it won't automatically come up if they just search between, you know, the origin and the destination, either because it's not a normal routing or there's a long layover or a short layover. So that would be why.
Our guest today on the Travel Guys is Ben Schlopik. Ben is a frequent flyer expert. We're talking today about getting frequent flyer awards and some tips to make you a smarter traveler and allow you to be able to get your own frequent flyer award at that elusive low frequent flyer price. We're going to keep Ben around and come back after the news and talk a little bit about frequent flyer upgrades. How can you use your miles to get those upgrades that get into that forward cabin? If you can't get a free ticket, how can you just get a better ticket? Ben Schlopik with us here with Tom Romano and Mark Hoffman. We are the Travel Guys. We'll be right back after the news on News Talk 1530.
Andy. Welcome back. We are the Travel Guys in Entertainment, News Talk 1530 KFBK. Mark Hoffman across the way from Sports Leisure Vacations. I'm Tom Romano, and let's get back to Ben Schlabigauer. Ben's the blogger.
Ben's the frequent flyer expert here at the Travel Guys. And we should mention that Ben has a website called Points Pros, right, Ben?
That's it.
PointsPros.com, all one word together, PointsPros.com. In fact, just go to TravelGuysRadio.com, and we'll fix you up with, you can hook up to Ben's website from there. As always, any website that you hear on the program, you can just go to our site, and they're all listed right there for you, and then you can, and if you want, you can send Ben an email, and of course, Ben does this for a living, so if you can't find the ticket, he can help you find it for a very reasonable fee, and if you're looking to take your family on vacation or something like that, why, it might be a service that would be of use to you. Okay, Ben, while we're in the news there, you mentioned to me that there was one thing that you wish that you had mentioned to folks about getting frequent flyer awards. We told them to get them right away, but then there's another time to get a frequent flyer award.
Right, exactly. I mean, so airlines do typically open up their award calendars 330 days before departure, but if you're booking closer than that, typically airlines will release almost all unsold seats within a few days of departure. So as crazy as it sounds, lots of times the best time to book an award ticket is a few days before departure. So I have actually planned trips in the past where I have hotels and everything set up, and I don't have a flight booked, and I just count on getting it the last couple of days, and it has yet to fail me.
Now let me ask you, if can you go ahead and book that, you know, in advance, and then sit and wait, and if you call and they see that there's a cancel one and get the cheaper one, or cancel one and get the one with the rewards, can you, you know, I mean, that way you're sure you have your ticket, because it's a destination you don't want to miss out on.
Shall I break the news to him, Ben, or do you want to do it?
You can't do that.
Well, you can do it, but the airline's going to charge you money every time that you do that. So most carriers, unless you are a top status flyer like Ben is with American, or I am with United, or if you're in the top level, sometimes those fees are waived.
Show off.
Otherwise, they're going to, and I only have that with one airline. So if I go to fly American, Ben's status doesn't help me.
But like Southwest doesn't charge you a fee if you want to reschedule your flight. It's either if the flight costs more, you pay more.
That's
if it
right.
costs less, then you get a
ticket. Yeah, if you bought a $300 ticket and now the fare is $320, you're going to pay $20 with Southwest, but there's not going to be an additional change fee on top of that. Frontier has just lowered their change fee.
So with Southwest, I book a flight for $350. I wait until the last minute. I check one more time. I see that they have it for less, or I see that they have it for the same amount, but there is a reward.
Right.
Can I make a switch?
Yes, with Southwest you can.
Nobody else.
But virtually nobody. Ben, is there any other carrier you can think of that allows that for without a fee or a penalty?
No, you're exactly right. The only exclusion, I think, is that you can often change the dates and times of the flights. You just can't change the routing. So,
understood.
For example, American, for example, you could change, you can move the trip forward or back a week and not pay a fee. But if you change the routing,
meaning if it's you're going through Phoenix and the other one that they're offering it goes through L.A., then that's a changing of the routing.
Not right, necessarily. Exactly. It all depends on the airline.
It depends on the airline, yeah. Sometimes they want the exact same routing, the exact same connecting points, and some airlines will say, well, if your destination is the same, they will allow. And again, of course, this is where the status thing comes in again, and I don't mean to hammer this, but it's important for people to know that one of the reasons that those of us who are frequent flyers fly on one carrier all the time, even though sometimes it's not even our favorite airline, is because that carrier offers us some services and some waivers and some week. You know, I might save a $150 change fee three or four times a year with United that I would have paid at American. So therefore, my allegiance with United is rewarded with some sort of value.
I actually think it's one of the most underestimated elite perks, because sometimes I'll change a United or American ticket 10 or 11 times when it's an award to always try to perfect the routing. And when I think of how much I would have to otherwise pay for that, it's a huge amount.
But we have to be honest with people, Ben, and the truth of the matter is that a very small percentage of people are in each airline's top elite category. So the 99.9% of the people who are listening to this broadcast today are not either elite people or top level elites or somewhere in the middle, and the middle doesn't really help you. right. a whole lot. I mean, there's really two categories of flyers, as we've discussed before in this program, the top-tier elites that are really taken care of by their carrier and then everybody else. But if I'm a United elite and I go fly on their partner airline, U.S. Airways, they probably won't treat me much better than snot because, well, I mean, it's true because exactly. I'm not their top-level customer, and you would say, well, gee, they would probably try to impress you and stuff, but they're too busy taking care of their top-level customers. Ben, these frequent flyer these update awards. Now, airlines used to, you could let's take United, 15,000 miles would get you an upgrade across the country if it was available. Now, if you call and you're Joe off the street and you've got your you've paid for your ticket and you say, gee, you know, I'd like to sit up in the first class and I'll get my family up there and you use all my miles. And suddenly when you get done with the transaction, the lady on the phone says, well, that'll be $600, sir.
Exactly. I mean, nowadays they have huge co-pays along with upgrades. So I actually think it's not nearly as good of a deal as it used to be to use miles for upgrades simply because you'll end up paying a lot of cash as well.
So, is there a carrier that's particularly better in your experience with upgrades?
No, I mean, well, Delta doesn't charge a copay, but they require very, very high fares in order to be able to upgrade. So,
in essence, the copay is built into the fare.
Basically, right. But other than that, just about, I know Continental United and American, they all charge pretty hefty copays for upgrades. So,
and we have to warn people when they're surfing a website, and you've got to make sure that you tell the website that you want an upgradable fare, because it often, as Ben just pointed out, sometimes those fares are not the cheapest fares. In other words, if there's a $298 ticket and you want to upgrade, you can't have that $298 fare. You have to pay $369 in order to upgrade. Does that make any sense to you, Tom? Is that?
Yeah. Yeah, in other words, they're not, like you say, they're not going to let you upgrade on the lower cost fares.
Yeah, exactly. They're either going to bump you to a higher fare, so having your currency becomes less valued, which brings up a point, Ben, and that is, are hotel frequent stay points really a better deal than airlines? Because hotels almost always have rooms available.
That's true. I mean, I guess the question is whether you like redeeming for luxury hotels or not. For five-star hotels, I would say hotel points are incredibly valuable because you can get a $1,000 a night hotel for, you know, relatively few points compared to airline miles. At the same time, you know, the value isn't quite as great because, you know, an $80 a night Hampton Inn is likely not going to be as good of a value on a per point basis as a flight, if that makes any sense.
Yes, it does.
Interesting. I know that if you have like Starwood points, which is through the Sheraton chain, and if you want to exchange those for airline flights, it's like a gazillion. I mean, it's just
well,
crazy.
And we should probably point out, should we not, Ben, at this point, that any time you are exchanging points from one program to another, unless you hit some time when they're having a bonus mm-hmm. or some kind of promotion. American Express does this from time to time. But unless you can hit where they're giving a 20 or 30% bonus, oftentimes there's a fee to move the points, and the reality is you're devaluing the points along the way.
Oh, yes.
Right. Generally speaking, you're better off redeeming points through the program that you're accruing them with.
Unless by moving those points, you know, allows you to take two small point piles and make them into a big pile that gets you something that you wouldn't have had otherwise. Ben, thank you so much for all of your time today. I hope that our listeners have picked up something along the way in all of our discussion about different airline things. If they would like to contact you further, they can go to travelguysradio.com. We have your email address there and the address for your website, pointspros.com, where you can help people find that elusive frequent flyer ticket for a fee that's probably a lot less than what they would pay the airline. And it wouldn't be bad to pay it to you instead of to United.
Really?
That's the goal.
All right. Thank you, Ben. Be safe. Keep us updated on the Japan thing. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks so much for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
We are the Travel Guys in Entertainment. This is News Talk 1530 KFBK.
Welcome back to the Travel and Entertainment Guys here on a lovely Sunday afternoon in Sacramento. In studio with us now and our next and final guest of the afternoon is a good old friend of ours, John Holloway from Holloway Travel Outfitters. John, good to see you this
afternoon.
Hi,
everybody. Hi, Mark. Tom.
Hi, welcome, John. You brought a lot of stuff.
As always, John is the man. John is the visual radio man, and we should tell folks, remind folks that once again, go to travelguysradio.com, and you can find the link to John's website, to the packing demonstration that he's about to do. John, your family has been famous for a long time. Your mother, when I first started in business, was at the Sacramento Bee Travel Show every year, did a packing demonstration two or three times throughout the day.
This would be a packed house.
There are probably people out there who are listening to this program who watched your mother do a packing demonstration. I'm guessing not just one or two of them, probably a lot of them, Gussie Holloway. And you have continued the Holloway tradition of being packing experts. In fact, your website is packing light. So you've brought this bag. You told me before we went on the air is only 4 pounds.
4 pounds.
And this is kind of a carry-on size bag. This would be a legal carry-on onto an airplane.
Absolutely. About 85-90% of the time, you bet.
Okay. Now you, for the purpose of just, you know, kind of like they do food spots on TV, you've already packed half of this for us. Explain to us what's in the already packed side.
Yeah, I've got about 8 to 9 garments on one side. The only knock against mom's old method was if we do one big bundle of clothes, how do I get to the middle of something in the middle? Mm-hmm. People never challenge Gussie, my mother, but they do with the kid.
Well, let me just tell you, John, Gussie was not somebody that you really openly challenged a lot. She was your mom, so you probably knew that.
Yeah, and she was such an authority, you know, and all that. But really, people do want to say, you know, they get to their destination, they won't have to unpack the whole darn bag. So we understand that. So now we kind of push this idea of maybe packing a couple of bundles. A couple of the days in advance, you know, you have packed ready to work out of that.
So you're thinking about on this day you're going to wear this pair of pants and this top, yeah. And so you've bundled them together in your suitcase.
Exactly. Well, let's get to the secrets here. We were doing a packing demonstration on radio, which
right.
Isn't something that you do every
no,
day.
No, it's not something that you do every day.
But try to best describe, John, you know, the folding method and so forth to get them into this the suitcase.
Yeah, it's sometimes called the bundle method, or I like to call it the Gussie method. And what we do is really, it's a most efficient use of space because the clothes are lying flat in the bag. We're not rolling them
not
up.
Not rolling them up. Now, there's a lot of people who do the roll them
they
up
might
thing.
Do that.
Yeah. So in other words, if you have a pair of pants, one fold?
Yeah, it is exactly that, Tom. It comes into one fold. So we'll start off with the shoes in the corners. And then carry on, we'll pack two pairs of shoes, and we're going to wear another on board the airplane.
Okay.
And don't forget your clothes when you wear on there, too. So we're going to get more attire in our wardrobe. But we'll start with the pants first. And the couple key things to remember about the method is alternate the direction of the garment every time you put one in, zipper and button everything to its fullest so it holds its shape, and the general order of
things. Okay, now wait a minute. That's really important.
Yes.
Alternate the direction you put the garments in,
yep,
and zipper and button everything like you were wearing it.
That's right. It'll hold its shape better, less likely to wrinkle, because we don't go on vacation to iron.
So no irons. Shouldn't be just buttoning my shirt with one top button and one other button when I fold it and put it in my suitcase. I should button it all the way down the front.
Yeah, maybe every other one for you, Special Mark, but and at it'll least
be, the so that it wouldn't be as wrinkled. Well,
yeah.
I'm just asking because
no,
this is
good
an
question.
Issue.
Absolutely.
You know, and also, guys, when you get to the hotel room, you take the shirt out, the wrinkled shirt, you put it on the hanger of the hotel room, you put it in the shower in the hotel, and the next morning when you take your shower or when you take your shower after you work out that night, magically, the wrinkles are gone from your shirt. That's the Mark Kaufman, get the wrinkles out of your shirt.
Yeah. So you allow a little bit of the moisture from the shower.
From the shower, too. Yeah. And then when you get out of the shower, just take your damp towel and just kind of brush the shirt a little bit, and the moisture and the wrinkles will be all gone, and you don't have to
very
iron
cool.
your shirt. Or
Yeah,
no, that's a free tip. Anyway,
that's
back to John.
One.
Meanwhile, back
one.
At the suitcase.
Yeah, and if we pack it right, hopefully we don't have too many wrinkles anyhow. But so, and the right clothes.
So you're alternating things, and you're putting your interlapping things that are the same things you might wear on the same day or items that you might combine together.
Yeah, for a couple days actually in advance. So we're going to lay out two pairs of pants, and they go in the opposite directions, as I mentioned.
Okay.
They're first. So the general order of things are pants, shorts, skirts, dresses for the gals, and then tops. For us guys, we keep it real simple. Bottoms first, and then your tops. So lay the pants out in opposite direction.
So wait a minute. For guys, the pants should go in the bottom of the suitcase?
Yes, sir. And use the length of the
bag. I'm taking notes.
Now you put all of the pants together. It's not like pants and then shirt and then pants and then shirt.
Exactly.
Okay. So all the pants are in opposite opposite directions each lay. Now the shirts.
Right. And because suitcases are rectangular and pants are long and narrow, use the length of the bag laying the pants in. And this is on the video on our website, of course.
Okay.
So skirts and dresses.
TravelGuysRadio.com to get the link to the website to see this packing demonstration live online, yes.
Yeah. And so with skirts and dresses, use the middle of the skirt, middle of the dress, and the middle of the bag. So that's really, we kind of abandoned the alternating the direction of the garments every time. Now we just lay the skirt out, lay the dress out, just lay it all out on top of the pants. Then we go with the shirts.
And laying it basically without a fold.
And you're not folding these. You're laying all of these garments right on top of each other, but they are all buttoned up, like you said. They're all zipped
They're hanging out there, John.
They are.
Are you going to explain what to do now? Okay.
Yeah. So now we're laying the tops out in opposite directions.
Okay.
As well.
So you'll know, folks, right now what it looks like is a smothered luggage bag because you can't really see it.
It looks like
you
just the permanent press stuff just came out of the dryer and you're trying to lay it out as fast as you can before it wrinkles.
Right, and before the train leaves the station.
Yeah.
And so.
So you've overlapped here effectively. You put half the garment in the suitcase as we try to paint the radio picture here.
Yep.
And then you're folding the other half over the top of it.
Exactly, intertwining them to where there is one fold. So
what's the advantage of intertwining them?
Well, they help cushion one another. So you sort of get that rolled effect that we're talking about, that we don't really want to roll every garment because wovens will wrinkle. But so we get the rolled effect without rolling.
Remember that, Tom. Wovens will wrinkle.
All right.
Because your wife will want to know that at some point in time.
Yeah, we got to know it. We got to be on top of this stuff, fellas. So now we lay all those shirts on top. So basically you'll look at all these clothes and say, gosh, there's a lot of clothes packed on top of my suitcase. But keep the faith. You start from the top down, start folding the top two shirts over one another, and you work your way back into the bag. So, sorry, Mark, you can't just pick up the whole end of the clothing in the bag.
So you have to do one at a time.
Yeah, you kind of intertwine them back, fold them over one another, starting from the top down. And you work your way back into that configuration.
And believe it or not, folks, if you're listening on the radio, we're watching this happen, and it actually is working. But I'm going to guess that you're probably going to want to watch this video yourself. John, also, you have these packing demonstrations at your store from time to time, right?
People
sign up and come in and watch it done live. So if you go to Holloway Travel Outfitters on Fulton Avenue, you can sign up, or even go to the website. You could sign up
John,
for one
John
of the
is John is folding the shirts on top of one another.
Isn't this
one
exciting?
If this were the Food Channel, we would be counting down now as the last
Hands
30
up.
Seconds. Yes, and look at this. And John, in this reasonably small carry-on here, I would say this is a size of a duffel bag.
Yeah, it's a short one,
it's
actually.
A short
it's a 20-inch, yeah.
And you say you've got enough clothing in here.
He's now zipping the inner liners.
Play-by-play. And so you've got enough clothing here, you're telling me, for about a week.
No, weeks, Mark. I got a total of, and listen to this, it's not written in stone, but the general formula is 4 pants, 1 skirt, 1 dress, 10 tops.
All right, we got to get out of here. let's remind people where they can find you. Where is Holloway Travel Outfitters located?
Sure, we're on Fulton Avenue, 1150 Fulton Avenue, in between Hurley and Northrop on the east side of the road.
And you know what, folks? There are not too many businesses in this town that have been around as long as Holloway Travel Outfitters. And so really and truly, you're going to go there and find that John and his staff are really friendly, nice people. A lot of the times you can just go in and talk to John. Look at that suitcase, 15 and a half pounds. That's the suitcase and all the stuff he put in it.
That's right.
You are definitely the packing expert.
The last trip we took, my wife packed a suitcase three times that size for a 4-day trip.
Oh, good. Get her.
And I remember when we took it to the counter, we thought it wasn't all her stuff. I have to point out. We were concerned about it being overweight, and it weighed like 40 pounds.
Wow.
So, yeah. 40 pounds of twice as much space as we need.
And one thing we should point out, the airlines will let you take 50 pounds in a suitcase in most cases, but the reality is a 50-pound suitcase weighs a lot. And if you are an older person or have any type of mobility issues or anything, you want to hold that suitcase to around 35, 40 pounds as a maximum, because otherwise you're just going to have some real issues. And think about all the people who have to schlep it. John, we're out of time. Thank you very much for coming by. We'll see you over at the store over on Fulton Avenue. And John Holloway from Holloway Travel Outfitters, our guest this afternoon on The Travel Guys.
Okay, we're nearing the end of the program, so time for me to put in a shameless plug for my FM radio program on Classic 93.1, classic hits of the 70s and 80s. Join me each weekday afternoon from 3 until 7. And join Mark. He'll be on Fox 40 doing a little TV Monday morning at 7:40 a.m. That's tomorrow morning at 7:40 with tips on how to avoid getting nickeled and dimed to death while traveling. Mark?
Well, that about does it for another edition of the Travel Guys. I'm Mark Hoffman for Tom Romano. We'll look forward to seeing you again next Sunday. Remember, we are the Travel Guys, and an hour a week is all we ask. That would be next Sunday at 2 o'clock. You have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday at 2 here on News Talk 1530 KFBK.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends. I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again. Going places that I've never been. Seeing things that I may never see again. I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again.